Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from a rental car on Sunday, October 2nd, 2 Oceans 11, driving from Louisville, Kentucky to Lexington, Kentucky. Since last we spoke, well, last time I spoke while you just sat there or ran on a treadmill or whatever it is you do while you listen to this stuff. Since then, a hot time was had by all at the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club in Ventura, California. Jordan with the baseball, that's where he lives out in those parts. If you want to visit him, he works at the Buena Lanes Bowling Facility in Ventura. And he was there, hot off of his win, finally, last week, thanks to Sam the Ma'am Levine. Graham Elwood was there in Ventura, and he's also driving this car. Please welcome.
Hello.
My guest, Graham Elwood. What kind of rental car are we in today, Graham Elwood?
We're in a weirdo crossover. This is a Mazda. It's called the A5 Sport, and it's kind of a SUV minivan-y thing.
Yeah, it's
fine.
It's all right.
It's fine.
It's not. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's.
You're not gonna get any endorsement deals from Mazda talking about how fucking fine their car is. In Ventura, you beat a dude named Shu, whose name tag was an actual shoe. Beat him with Spider-Man in the Killem Defoe category.
Actually, it's pronounced Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, and then that's an old Jordan Brady bit. Used to talk about Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
I just saw, what was I watching? Somebody went, bow, chicka, bow. Oh, it was in It's Kind of a Funny Story. I was watching that yesterday on HBO. And somebody went, bow, chicka, bow, bow. And that's, Jordan Brady invented that. Saying that, like, in association with, I'm going to go have sex with somebody. Because he had this bit about the music and porn. Yeah. And how it's like, bow, chicka, bow. That's so, that blows my mind that he coined that. Anyway, Jordan Brady, director of I Am Comic, by the way. In the Janine Garofalo category, happy birthday, Jane Ann, you lost to a dude named Mike on the film Ratatouille.
That's
which
right.
Is tricky. You always get tripped up by animation.
Animation mix, because there's always this, like, Janine Garofalo, and then it was, like, Brad Garrett. And I was like, what movie have they ever been? Like, I can't picture them, and voices throw me. I'm a visual person.
Yeah, you are. Yesterday, at the 420 show that we did, stand-up...
We just got passed by another Mazda A5 Sport, so now, Doug, you can get a good idea what it looks like, how stupid we look. It's a weird-looking car, but I like it.
Again, Mazda probably won't be calling.
Sorry, guys.
Better luck on the next rental. So yesterday we did a 420 stand-up show in Louisville at the Improv, and a dude with a football that had Paul written on it, a football, if you will.
Football.
he got coal miner's daughter in negative two names.
That was impressive. He fucking stomped
your ass.
When someone is that strong, I give it to him.
Because it was there was nothing you could do. You couldn't go negative three.
I had no idea.
Because you thought it might be
Tender Mercies.
Tender Mercies.
But then in the description, you're like, oh, it's kind of based on real. And I was like, shit, Tender Mercies is not. And I was like scrambling.
Tender Mercies is also, several years later, I think.
Yeah, Tender Mercies was like 83 or 84. Homeowner's daughter was 80.
Yeah. So anyway, you, the listener, can have a chance to play a Leonard Maltin game against Graham Elwood at the Neptune Theater in Seattle on Friday, October 28th, the San Francisco Punchline on October 29th at 4:20, and the Sacramento Punchline on October 30th at 4:20. Since it'll be Halloween weekend, be sure to wear a costume. Yeah, dress up as your favorite movie character or a movie character with your name, and you'll have a better chance of being chosen. Right, Graham?
Yes. The more creative the costume, the better chance you have.
Yeah, and if it's since Graham is going to be doing the picking, I'll help you out and say that he really likes people to wear his Palm Strike shirt to the show, and he also likes any kind of references to martial arts in your name tag or your costume.
Yes, if you dress like someone from 13 Assassins and truly shave your head the way samurais did back in feudal
Japan. All right, don't do that. Seriously, that's ridiculous. Because also, I'm just going to think that you're from that Tom Cruise movie when I see you. Because I still haven't seen 13 Assassins.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I got to see 1 through 12 Assassins first.
I'm making a joke in a Mazda.
Have you seen anything lately, Graham?
I've been very busy with other comedy film nerd related stuff. We've got we just announced we're gonna have a book coming out next spring. So Chris and I and all the other nerd writers are very busy with that. So honestly, I'm a little behind in my movie goingness.
Isn't it great how having to write a book about movies is keeping you from seeing movies?
Well, I guess in all fairness, then what I've been doing is I just finished writing a chapter on documentary. So I have been watching a lot of movies. Nothing current. So I've seen.
Oh, I just meant, what have you seen lately?
Oh, okay, great. Then Afghan Star is an amazing documentary about a American Idol type show in Afghanistan where singing and dancing were outlawed by the Taliban. So now, there was like two women in the finals, and this one woman like shakes her shoulders from side to side, and it's like an outrage, like she's out there dancing like some whore, and it's an amazing film talking about.
Wait, this is the remake of Footloose?
Yeah, this is the remake of Footloose that they shot in Kabul, and Kevin Bacon's in it, so it's really good. No, it's an excellent documentary, Afghan Star. And then I've also watched a bunch of westerns. I just watched Jeremiah Johnson, which is a great Robert Redford movie, and Sidney Pollack directed it in the 70s.
That shit holds up?
Yeah, there's some...
I didn't like it when I was a kid.
Well, there's some music stuff that's like, it's a very 70s soundtrack with like, Jeremiah Johnson lived in the mountains, but...
Oh my God.
Get past that. There's some good...
How much of it's in the snow? Is there a lot of snowy parts?
A lot of snow. They shot it, of course, Robert Redford shot it all in Utah. So it's
that's when he fell in love with Sundance and started all that Sundance crap, right?
I think that might have been Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, but I don't know. I think this, I'm sure, had something to do with it. I think it was.
Yeah, I mean, the name Sundance came from Sundance Kid, but I think that because they didn't shoot Butch Cassidy in Utah, did they?
They shot some of it in Utah. Yeah,
oh, okay.
They shot all over the place.
He's got a lifelong love of Utah, basically.
Electric Horseman, which is another great Western. He goes to Utah.
What? That's a great Western.
Yeah, man, he's a cowboy, and he's
got a little electric suit on, and Jane Fonda bitching at him the whole movie.
It's a Western. I categorize that as a Western because he's out there on a horse.
How many shootouts are there?
There's a lot. He has a big one with John Saxon, a corporate shootout.
Of course, you know, we flew out to Louisville on Friday, and that was the day before the end of the month. So the magazine in front of you on United promised Mr. Popper's Penguins as being the movie, but as often happens, they switched the magazines
day early
going into the weekend, but didn't switch the movies yet. So they showed Something Borrowed again.
Yay!
And I watched a little bit of it again just because it's stupefying. I cannot believe how terrible it is. Like, it's amazing to me. Like, I think, is it just because I'm a man? Like, would a woman watch it and go, well, it's not great, but it's cute or whatever?
We have a lot of female fans that Comedy Film Nerds, and there was a whole thing on our message boards by women mostly about how many romantic comedies they hate and find insulting, and there's only a handful of them that they really resonate with.
It's so awful. Now I've seen almost all of it, and basically the arc of the story is that these girlfriends are best friends.
Wait, even don't
though,
ruin it.
Even though they have nothing in common, really, because one is just a complete crazy person, played by Kate Hudson, and the other one's like a nice, normal girl, and why they're friends never makes sense, but then also just all the, like, taking each other, you know, sleeping with each other's husbands and all that kind of stuff, but it's amazing.
They keep going to the Hamptons for these stupid weekends that are just, like, mix-up-y.
I have to say, John Krasinski kind of makes it watchable for me, because he spends a lot of his time saying, what is wrong with you bitches? Like this is stupid. Like, the Batman scene where he's, like, just going, fucking, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know, you two are in love, and you're going to marry the other girl? What the fuck? But it's, you know, Shakespeare, it's not. And but it's funny, the timing, because, you know, now I've got this thing where I'm saying to people that, or not to people, but on the podcast, that Kate Hudson hasn't made a good movie since Almost Famous. And then Almost Famous just came out on Blu-ray, I guess. So Entertainment Weekly reviewed it and basically says the same thing. Like, it says, and actually they say out loud, they go, you know, they say it's a... ever since 2003's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Kate Hudson has become synonymous with a certain brand of cloying, lightweight romantic comedy that always seems to be playing in Coach at 30,000 feet.
Oh my God.
In Coach, that's a funny way to phrase it, because I was in first one time when I had to sit through it. But anyway, it makes you wish you had a parachute.
Whatever.
Humble brag, maybe? But then it lists Alex and Emma, Late Divorce, Raising Helen, Fool's Gold, My Best Friend's Girl, Bride Wars, Something Borrowed. Like, she makes all these crappy movies. And then the one that people keep pointing to is Skeleton Key, they say is good.
Right.
But I never saw Skeleton Key, because those American versions of Japanese horror movies are never good. I didn't even like The Ring.
Her and Katherine Heigl should have a fucking shitty rom-com cage match.
They both had one good movie that was their first movie that made them a movie viable movie performer, and then crap.
God.
Maybe Skeleton Key. Crap. All right, so that's settled. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Kate Hudson, make a good movie. It's not like she's a bad actress.
She's a good actress. Both her and Katherine Heigl are good actresses. Go make some good stuff.
Yeah, stop being assholes. I saw The Debt. Speaking of people who are not assholes, be like Helen Mirren.
Oh my God.
She makes an occasional bad movie, but for the most part, she's a great actress that, you know, makes good choices. I didn't need to see her topless in that Calendar Girls movie, but I also didn't need to see Patton Oswalt in that movie. And he was in there.
Yeah. But even when she makes a movie, it's usually like it just demographically doesn't resonate with me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my mom and her friends loved Calendar Girls. So great. That's what that demographic is for. You know what I mean? Like, Helen Mirren doesn't make just one unlikable character after another. She doesn't do that.
Well, that's the thing about Kate Hudson. She seems to be getting more and more unlikable. Like, almost like... because her role in Something Borrowed is kind of a character part in a way. Because the character's so much more annoying than she probably was in some of those other romantic comedies, but
if someone did a really smart, sharp comedy and Kate Hudson came in playing that character briefly, it would be hilarious. I think if it was like sort of a, she knew it was, th- they were sort of winking at the audience, like, hey, it's Kate Hudson doing the thing she always does. I think if you did that correctly, it could be funny. But when it's the co-star, I don't want to watch that. Ever.
Yeah, get it out of my face.
God damn it.
What are you doing?
Stop teabagging me with your bad movies.
Oh, my God. Since there's just the two of us in the car, that means we play Build a Title.
Yes.
Although one dude on Twitter suggested that we pick up a hitchhiker and play the Leonard Maltin game. Yeah, so keep your eyes out for Rutger Hauer.
Yeah.
I hear he's good at the Leonard Maltin game. God, he would be awful. He'd be the next coming of Michael Rooker.
I'm guessing
a guy like Rutger Hauer doesn't remember the names of his co-stars.
I bet you he remembers everything. I bet you Rutger Hauer...
Really? You think Rutger Hauer's a name genius?
Yeah, I think that German brain of his is going to have everything remembered and ready to go.
All right. Let's try to get him on the show.
Does anybody knows
see what happens.
Hauer?
If you got a hookup for Rutger Hauer, let us know.
Oh, yeah.
Since we're in Kentucky, I should say, you know, one of my favorite movies on television, of course, is Justified, starring Timothy Oliphant.
Great TV show.
But, you know, I people are always asking me, who's your next John Lithgow? Who do you really want to get on the show? I would love to have Timothy Oliphant on Doug Loves Movies, because I know he's super into sports. Like, he used to do, like, sports on a radio station in L.A. just for the fun of it. But I bet you he also really knows his movies. And yeah. I think he's mostly made some smart choices in his career, so I would love to talk to that guy. So let's play I decided to pick a movie that is set in Kentucky for this round of Build a Title.
Alrighty.
And I decided on a horror comedy classic that was shot entirely in California, but it's supposed to be Kentucky. It stars Clu Gulager, or Gulager, you can pronounce it anyway, several different ways. He is often in the front row at the New Beverly when they show any kind of movie where there's going to be like a cute, or maybe he only goes to Edgar Wright things. Like, I've seen him at, when I saw that they had a double bill of The Driver, and I think it was Warriors, and they had Walter Hill there. And Bruce Dern, and they spoke, and Clu Gulager was in the front row, and then Clu Gulager was at the midnight screening of Scott Pilgrim.
Ooh.
That I got to go with Edgar to that and do like a Q&A with him and a bunch of the cast members. Super fun. And New Beverly in LA is going to show Scott Pilgrim at midnight one Friday or Saturday each month, I think.
That's awesome.
And anytime that me or Edgar are around, we're going to show up there and try to get some other people to show up. And we played, after the movie was over, like 3 in the morning, we played Leonard Maltin game with audience members. And Edgar had a bad night. He got shut out. Two different people beat him.
As we go into Build a Title here, I got this thing that when we played in Bloomington, which, by the way, was a great show. And
I think you're going to say what I was about to say, maybe.
The Hunterminator is that's nonsense. That's like that. I could just pick a movie that starts with, I could have said Hunter Rollerball. It has to be the word.
Oh, no. You're absolutely wrong, and I can't believe I'm gonna have to throw away this episode of the podcast. It's been so good so far, but I don't want to have this argument on the podcast, because I have this argument on occasion with listeners. And no, Terminator was, that was amazing. That was perfect. There's another example of, amazing is overselling it, but another example was, what was it? Something that ended in, Jing, and then I added Jingle All the Way to it. But that's it's got to sound right. Like, a lot of people try to do like Contagion, you know, a movie that starts with the word one, one and only. They try to go Contage One and Only, and then like that's like, no, that's now you're changing the sound of it. But what was illegitimate on the Bloomington thing, and I thought you were going to bring up, is that I pushed through Night is a Lonely Hunter as a movie, and that is not a movie. That is, in fact, not a movie. I was thinking of The Heart is a Lonely Hunter,
Oh, right.
And I just jammed it through, and nobody questioned it. The Night is a Lonely Hunter is not a movie. And it's not like when you said case closed on the last car one, or no, was it in Bloomington when you said case closed? Where that you got lucky and that turned out to be an actual movie? There, somebody should actually make something called Night is a Lonely Hunter, because that is a good
no
title.
Way, of all the shitty movies that have been made, there wasn't a case closed starring Rutger Hauer. And
yeah, so anyway, so that's a interesting interesting ongoing debate that I've been having with people about Bill the Title. Because also when you play it on Twitter, then it's about the spelling of the words and not about the pronunciation. So it's all very confusing, but hopefully people that listen all the time are on board. And again, I'm sorry that we have to throw out this episode. I'm going to set my iPhone on fire. And yes, this is being recorded on an iPhone in a moving car, and it's pretty, I got to say, iPhone, at least that's one thing they're doing pretty good, is the microphone in this. So anybody could have a podcast on their phone if they want.
Oh, I wanted to thank real quick everybody at Monroe County Martial Arts, because I sparred with them right before we recorded the show in Bloomington. I was fighting there. It was great.
Oh, no wonder we had such a good show.
Yeah, that's because I needed to spar. I got to fight, and I felt good. So if anyone wants to fight in Bloomington, Indiana, go to Monroe County Martial Arts.
I actually wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. The people that showed up at the Scott Pilgrim taping, there was screening at the New Beverly. Chris Evans was there. Future guest Chris Evans, by the way. Jason Schwartzman, didn't get to ask him to ever be a guest. Brie Larson, Brian Lee O'Malley, and Michael Bacall, who are the creator of the comic and the co-writer of the movie. And then, of course, Edgar Wright. And I wanted to tell a quick story. We were... Edgar and... Oh, and did I say Michael Cera was there? Yeah, Michael Cera was there, too. And Michael Cera and Edgar and I were walking down Beverly Boulevard after the Q&A, and there was a bunch of, huge lights in the middle of the street. They were filming something, and as we were walking along, some AD or somebody stopped us and said, "Hey, can you guys go around the block? We're filming right here." And Edgar goes, what are you filming? And the guy says, "The Closer," you know, the TV show The Closer? And Michael Cera looks at the guy and goes, "My friend Kira works on that." And the guy just stared at him like, "What?" And then we just walked away. But it was so funny. Like, I'm sure the guy had no idea that was Michael Cera. But it was just such a funny thing to say, "My friend Kira works on that." Like some dork would say that to the...
Yeah.
To the AD that's trying to get you to walk around the block.
Yeah, and
he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, no way. Like, he's going to go, "Oh, okay, well then just walk
Yeah, walk
through.
Wherever you want," or, you know, but it wasn't even saying it like, "I want to get in there," or he was just kind of like acting like, "Oh, what a coincidence. My friend Kira's working on that TV series that she's the star of." All right, so the movie I chose, starring Clu Gulager, back to that, is Return of the Living Dead. So you can come up with a movie to start us off, Graham, that ends with the word return, or ret, and begins with the word dead.
Return of the Living Deadpool.
Wow, you really want to get this thing finished right away. All right.
We're 32 miles from Lexington, buddy. We got to wrap it up.
Pool. See, like, I can't go Pool's Gold. Nor would I want to, because Kate Hudson's got enough play on this. Pool.
But that's... Her movie was Pool's Gold.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just change the way things are pronounced. Or spelled.
Yeah.
Pool. I don't think there's any movie that starts with pool. I mean, there might be if we look it up. But
I know.
Pool of Gold.
Pool.
Pool. You do know one that starts with four? Okay, good. Then I'll go on the other end, and I will say, no deposit, no return of the living dead pool.
Wait, what is that movie, No Deposit?
It's an old Disney movie called No Deposit, No Return.
No Deposit, No Return of the Dead Pool Boy.
Oh, nice. Who's in Pool Boy?
Oh, God. Isn't that a Spade movie or somebody like that? It's Patrick Dempsey or...
Yeah, that was Pizza Boy, wasn't it?
What, Pool Boy?
That was something about pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pool Boy, you're just guessing is the name of a movie?
No, it's a movie. It came out, I believe, in the late 80s.
All right, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, challenge.
Yeah. I'm totally challenging that one. I bet you're right, but I just don't know. I want to know what it is.
I want to know what.
I need confirmation, because you know accuracy is my thing. let's go movies. Come on, IMDb. Help an IMDb out.
International Movie Database. Internet. International.
Ah, you lose.
What?
No. Pool Boys is a movie.
Okay, Pool Boys.
Yeah, you can't do it that way now that I just told you.
Aww.
I mean, we can keep going if you want.
Let's keep going.
For laughs, but you lose.
I'm the loser.
You're the big loser. Okay. Okay, I'll go Doctor No Deposit, No Return of the Living Dead, Pool Boys.
Doctor and Boys.
Yeah.
Boys of Brazil.
Woo! I'll go with just Brazil.
Yeah, I gave you that layup. I was like,
You can't do that. You're not adding anything. It's all about building. It's like Fraggle Rock. Boy, I know there's gotta be something that ends in doctor. I just have to think of it. Paging Mr. Doctor. Hello, Doctor. Steam Carpet Doctor.
Yeah, they made the Rug Doctor movie. They made that.
Oh, man. I think I'm going to have to give. Brazil isn't the first word of any movie, I don't think. Brazil. Brazilian Wax.
That's the movie.
That's got to be a movie. Brazilian Wax movie. People are screaming at their whatever device they're listening to this on. Some movie that ends in doctor.
Oh, yeah, no, there's a million of them. I can't think of any.
A million?
I think of
that end in doctor?
Yes.
All right. Well, do you have? So you don't have an answer to either end?
Doctor. Well, there is a. I think there's a Brazilian movie called Brasil Mi Amor. Brazil, my love.
Yeah, that's great. Brazilian movies.
They don't count.
It's a good way to go. All right. Yeah, I think we're done. But I'm gonna plug in Doctor and see what happens with Doctor on the IMDb. Because IMDb. Come on, movies. Doctor. Yeah, of course, Dr. Zhivago comes up. Dr. Doolittle. But I see nothing that ends in Doctor. There's a lot of things. There's several things called Doctor. Nothing that ends in Doctor. So, safe to say we're done.
Wait, isn't there the Doctor? Or...
Yeah, but you can't add the. Nothing, no movie ends in the. So we take the the's and the a's out. Because it was the Return of the Living Dead. We took that the out of there. The Deadpool. See what I'm saying? The's would ruin it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the's. It's just like when they listed movies in alphabetical order. You just forget about the word the. All right. Well, that was Dr. No Deposit, No Return of the Living Deadpool Boys of Brazil.
Exciting.
Yeah. Put that on a marquee and smoke it. Do you got any plugs, Graham?
Yeah, our podcast, Comedy Film Nerds. You can go to grahamelwood.com and get my Twitter handle, Facebook, and download my feature documentary that I directed, Laughganistan, which is a pay-what-you-think-is-fair download, and all my tour dates and everything else.
Fantastic. I'll be at Helium Comedy Club Tuesday and Wednesday, October 4th and 5th, Two Oceans 11, J1-Inch Punch Hollingsworth, and Sean Can Take a One-Inch Punch Jordan will be there. Those shows are at 8 o'clock, and then I'm going to tape a Doug Loves Movies at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, October 5th at Helium in Portland with, I'll have three surprise guests on that show. And as always, Kate Hudson movies are a shithead.
His viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves blues.